miraculously knocked down the walls. Israel went in and took Jericho. And that brings us here to chapter 7, which is a lesson on sin and its effects on our lives and even those around us and confession. So notice verse 1. But. So that's probably the most important word. Because what happened in verse 6 was just nothing but victory. Amen? Fantastic victory that they'd been waiting for. God was with Joshua. They marched around the city. God flattened the walls. They went in. They took the city. Rahab and her family were saved. But, let's read on. The children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men. And they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall envir us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes. And it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the family which the Lord shall take shall come by the households. And the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire. He then all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerites, and he brought the family of the Zerites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Garmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. We'll stop there. We're going to finish the chapter next week. And I'm going to take my title from verse 19. Give glory and make confession. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you that you've given us so much to learn in your word. And I pray tonight we would learn this great truth about the effects of sin and your power in our lives, your presence, your leading. Lord, I pray that it would truly speak to us, and Lord, lead us to keep short accounts and to stay close to you. May we learn, may we grow, may you be glorified and guide us in your truth. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So like I say, next week we'll talk more about the rest of the chapter. But tonight I just want us to talk about this power of confession and some great truths about confession. And the first thing that we see tonight in verse 1 is God knows anyway. Amen. When we have sin in our lives, when we've broken God's law, and we as Christians have many commandments that God has given us, when we violate them and don't deal with it, why? God already knows. Why did God let them fail in taking the second city? The first city was such a victory, and now they just fled before their enemies. They just can't believe it. They're in the promised land, and they've been waiting for so long, and God promised to be with them, and the second city, they lose the battle. I mean, they were so confident, they said, we don't need to really send many soldiers this time. It's not a big city. Just send a few thousand. Remember, there were hundreds of thousands of soldiers. And so the first thing we see is God already knows. So let's deal with it. If there's sin in our life, deal with it. You know, in 2 Chronicles 16:9, the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. God knows. God sees. He knows everything. Look at Psalm 90, verse 8, if you would. Psalm 90 and verse 8. The Bible says here, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins, in the light of thy countenance. He knows our secret sins. He knows the ones that only we know, and him, in our hearts, in our mind, or whatever. So God already knows. The Bible wants us to speak the truth. The Bible wants us to be honest about our sin. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. We were talking about repentance in Psalm 51, where David said in verse 3, I acknowledge my transgressions. I admit it. So God knows. That's the first thing we see tonight. Is God already knows. The second thing that we see, down in verse 10, it says, the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned. And so the second thing that we see is when we hold on to sin in our lives, it affects others. It doesn't just affect our Christian walk and our fellowship with our Heavenly Father. It even affects those around us. One man sinned, but God says here, Israel hath sinned. He was looking at them as a family, and they are his family. And he says, Israel hath sinned. When one man sinned, notice, they have transgressed my covenant. They have taken of the accursed thing. And our sin affects others. Look at Joshua 22:20, if you would. Here, they're recounting what happened here at Ai. And notice it says, did not Achan, the son of Zerah, commit a trespass in the accursed thing, and wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel, and that man perished not alone in his iniquity? Notice it says, wrath fell on all the congregation. He perished not alone. His family was also stoned and burned with fire. And of course, the soldiers died that lost the battle. Our sin affects others. And we have to remember that as Christians, that we are a family. Just like Israel was a family, the family of God. And it affects those around us. The third thing that we see in verses 12 and 13 is sin limits our victory. We talked about this again in Sunday school this morning. But notice he says in verse 12, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. What changed? They were victorious in the previous city. What changed? Sin. God says they could not stand before their enemies. Why? Because I wasn't with them. And I make all the difference. Notice he says, neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. Up, sanctify the people. There's an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Sin limits our victories. God is in 100% control of the battles that we win and the battles that we lose. Amen? He's showing Israel that early. We're going to win some battles and we're going to lose some battles. And what made the difference here was sin. Now, he'd already tried to teach them this way back in Exodus 30. We'll turn there quickly if we could. Remember when God had set everything up at the tabernacle? This was before the temple. And he set everything up for the holy place and the holy of holies and all the furniture. We actually learned about a lot of that in family camp. But here and down in verse 17, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass to wash withal, and thou shalt put it in between the tabernacle of the congregation, the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not." You might say, well, that was ceremonial. Okay. But was it not teaching them a lesson? That they cannot, even though they are God's priests and they're of the right lineage, they weren't allowed to enter the tabernacle until they had washed. And what does the Bible say for us? "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth them, forsaketh them, shall have mercy." Proverbs 28:13. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Psalm 66:18. It's all through the scriptures. Isaiah 59, which we looked at last week, says, "The Lord's hand's not short and his ear's not heavy, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God." It's always the sin that limits our victory. So that's the third thing we see. We see, first of all, God already knows, so why not deal with it? Secondly, it's going to affect not only us, but even those around us. Thirdly, it limits our victory. But fourthly, verse 14, our sin, if we choose not to deal with it, will find us out. Amen? "In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh," and in any way, at the end, "and the Lord shall come man by man." God says, there might be millions of you, but I already know who sinned. And I'm going to help you, Joshua, to zero in on the man that sinned. We're going to keep narrowing it down, tribe, family, 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 until we get to the sinner. Most of you probably know Numbers 32:23, but it says, "You've sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." We never get away with it. We may think we do, like David. We may think, "Oh, I got away with it. Got the husband killed, so now I can keep his wife. I got away with it." No, he didn't. Because then Nathan came and said, "How art the man?" We never get away with it. And Achan didn't get away with it. Our sin will find us out. And number 5, verse 15, if we continue to hide our sin, if we continue to not deal with the sin that God already knows, then we will have to face chastisement. Eventually, it's going to come. "It shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath." If we won't deal with the sin, God will. That's what he's teaching us. If we won't take care of it, he will. And that's in Hebrews 12. Let's turn there quickly if we could. God has promised us as his children that he as a heavenly father knows us so well and loves us so much that he will exercise love through chastisement. And down in verse 5. Of Hebrews 12. "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth. You know, we often don't associate love with chastisement, but God does. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If we choose not to deal with it, God will. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 31, if you would, teaches us the same thing, that we need to be constantly examining ourselves in light of the Scripture and the Holy Spirit. And if there is sin, deal with it. Because if we don't, God will. 1 Corinthians 11, 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Verse 32, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. God wants to protect his testimony. So regarding confession, what do we see? God knows. Sin affects those around us. Sin limits our victory. Our sin will find us out. And if we choose not to deal with it, God will. What else do we see? Verse 19. Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. I know it might not fit the narrative in our minds, but this teaches that it actually brings glory to God when we confess. Why is that? Well, because God is holy, God is righteous, we are sinners, and when we confess it, when we admit it, like we saw this morning, well, let's go there, Psalm 51, it was in Sunday school, we saw these steps that God wants us to take that will lead to amazing victories in our life. When there's sin in our life, what are the steps? Well, first, verse 3, I acknowledge. Amen? Admit it. Number 4, against thee and thee only. In other words, take responsibility. And now when I teach the counseling class in the Bible college, that's one of the first things we learn, is unless someone is willing to take responsibility for their sinful behavior, you can't help them. As long as they're trying to blame shift, you can't get anywhere. We have to say, I'm wrong, I've sinned. And that's the only way we're going to move forward. David never said, Lord, it wasn't my fault. Lord, it was someone else's fault. He said, I have sinned against you, Lord. I take responsibility. I acknowledge it. I take responsibility for it. And, of course, then verse 6, behold, thou desirest truth. In other words, I'm going to be honest about my sin. But he says in verse 2, wash me throughly and I from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Well, that brings glory to God when we get cleansed. There's only one God and only one mediator. Amen. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus. But of course, 1 John 1:9, we all know that by heart, right? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is teaching in this passage that when we confess, it actually brings him glory. Now, it's true when we get saved, isn't it? Think about it, Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Now, that confession is confessing that God is right, confessing that the gospel is true. But isn't that the same thing we're doing when we confess our sin? We're saying, God, you are holy, I'm a sinner. You are right, I am wrong. We're confessing. If we confess our sins, what will God do? Well, he's faithful and he's just and he'll forgive us. It brings him glory. So what a lesson on confession. God already knows our sin affects those around us. It limits our victory. It will find us out. And if we don't deal with it, God will. And it brings him glory. And then lastly, look at verse 26. And we're going to look at this passage starting at verse 19 again next week. But I wanted to jump ahead to number 7 about confession. And that is, when the sin is removed, the victory returns. Look, verse 26. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Amen. The sin was dealt with. Achan and his family were removed through death. The accursed thing had been dealt to. And so God's presence returned. Amen. The Lord returned from the fierceness of his anger. His anger went away. And look at chapter 8, verse 1. The Lord said unto Joshua, fear not. Sound familiar? Chapter 1. Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. The victory's back. You took care of the sin. I'm back with you again. Fear not. Don't be dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee. Arise. Go to Ai. See, I've given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall you take for a prey by yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. Down in verse 25 of chapter 8. And so it was that all that fell that day, both of men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. It shows you how confident they were, doesn't it? Because they only sent 3,000 soldiers against 12,000. But because they thought they had God's power and presence, they figured, why do we need to send all these soldiers? Just send 3,000. And now God says, send them all. It's your city again. I'll give it to you. The sin's removed. I'm back with you again. And when we deal with the sin, the victory is back. Hallelujah. What a beautiful lesson on confession and how important it is in our Christian lives. It's actually one of the foundational ways in which we grow as a Christian. It's keeping those short accounts with God. Because if we don't, look what happens. We affect those around us. Our victory is limited. And eventually we might have to face chastisement if we don't deal to it. But if we will deal to it, the victory comes back. Hallelujah. He says to Joshua, I'm with you again. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. I'm back. I'll be the power. You'll win this next city. And from what I can tell, we'll look more in it next week, not one of Israel's soldiers died in taking Ai, even though they killed 12,000 soldiers of Ai. Isn't that something? God was obviously with them. But not until the sin got dealt with. So he says to Achan, give. Well, let's look at it, verse 19, before we close. 7:19. Give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him. Amen. Give glory by what? Making confession. Now, Ai still died. His family still died. But he said, you need to make confession what you've done. Because when you do, it gives God glory. The sin got removed, the victory returned. Give glory and make confession. What a great lesson on confession. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that you love us so much, that you not only have forgiven us all of our sins through the blood of Jesus, but Lord, with our daily walk, our daily sins regarding our fellowship with thee, you are faithful and just, and to always forgive if we will just confess. May we learn this great lesson and always confess and deal to the sin, that the victory might be there in our lives. As we serve you, as we cross the Jordan and go into the promised land of the victorious Christian life,